On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We appreciate it. Keep doing it. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code STU for a special offer when you sign up. That's code STU only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The Stanley Cup playoffs, they start tonight. The Stanley Cup finals, they start tonight. And so we decided for the first time ever, a monster guest, the biggest guest perhaps we've ever had on Stupidity. And we've had Tom Brady. But we decided to bring on the only guy we know that talks hockey and knows hockey, and that is Roy.
Hello.
Is this Roy? Roy, is this your first appearance on Stupidity?
It could have been a second appearance. I don't know.
Like, it's been a while for sure if you haven't been on. Why aren't you on more?
Because you haven't asked.
No, come on.
I mean, you haven't asked.
Billy, that's fair.
That's probably fair. I mean, in fairness, I haven't been on MoCo once, so. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true. Would you like to be on MoCo?
I don't know that my invitation to Montgomery and Company is coming anytime soon. You know what else I haven't been on now for making gripes? I have been on Cinephobe, not once. And I don't understand it. Yeah, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a problem. And I don't want infighting, obviously, amongst the Lebatard and Friends podcast networks. I've never been on, and everyone else I think has been on. Many people have been on multiple times. And I'm trying to figure out, who do I have an issue with? Or who has an issue with me? Do you think it's Amin? Do you think it's Maze? Or do you think that it's the other one?
Probably Maze.
But Roy, you've known Billy for a while. Does he come off as a big movie? Like, he's not a big movie guy.
Bad movies? Their whole thing is bad movies.
I mean, the Fast and Furious series, I mean, they had to be a clunker in there.
They actually asked me on to do
Tokyo Drift.
They asked me on to do Too Fast, Too Furious, and then I was like out of town or something, and I think I blew my only shot. Yeah. Zach Harper asked me.
Listen, I will tell you this, and I love those guys. I say this lovingly, but the next time they ask me, feel free to do it. Okay.
Wow. Not a fan.
No, I'm joking. I actually enjoy doing their podcast. It's fun. So, Billy, you feel slighted. You feel like a mean or something. Like, one of them doesn't like you, huh?
I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it. I don't know if maybe they're getting bad intel on me or something's going on, because I feel like I belong more on Cinephobe than I do on Cinephile, but Adnan's had me on Cinephile twice already, which is crazy to me, because it's like, what am I going to add to this conversation about serious movies?
Well, why did he have you on? What were the reasons for having you?
The first time Chris Cody asked me to go see the newest Fast and Furious movie, and I went to the theaters during COVID to watch it just for Cinephile, because no lie, I would have just waited until it came out. So I went to do that opening weekend. And then the other time they invited me on was to talk about my claim that Dave Bautista is a better actor than The Rock.
Davey Bats.
Yeah, Davey Bats. But that's not what this is about today, guys. This is about hockey.
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup Finals start today. Lord Stanley, huh, Roy?
Why don't you dump out all your knowledge right here, right now, Billy?
Well, I don't want to do it all at the beginning, you know what I mean? Because there's no point in listening to the whole thing. By the way, Mikey A's here, too. Hey, Mikey, how's it going?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Which, by the way, can we have just like a little mini conversation about this? Because I know that we've had this conversation and we just continue to do it.
Hey, Billy, before we do that, can we say that Roy is going to partake in this episode? Can we actually promote who it is that is coming on to talk to us about the Stanley Cup and hockey?
Obi and the Updog?
Yeah, Obi and the Updog. Shane O'Brien, Scotty Upshaw. They have a great podcast. It's the best hockey podcast out there, okay? It's called Missing Curfew. Roy should probably start a hockey podcast at some point. He hasn't done it.
I mean, we have one already. We got too many men.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. So we can't do that. I'm sorry about that. But we do have – so we have the Stanley Cup coming up tonight, game one. And again, they're going to join us, these two guys. They have a very entertaining podcast. They'll be on here. Roy's going to participate. He's the only person on the show who truly cares about hockey, follows hockey, knows about hockey. Billy, I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
I was going to say because we were talking – I reached out to Mike Ye here. And we had a conversation where he told us he is Mike everywhere except in this world, where he is Mikey A because there was a Mikey C. And I just continue to call him Mikey A, even though he said no one calls me that except Stugatz. So I need to kind of reprogram myself to call him Mike, but I feel like right now it's just like second nature to just always put Mikey A. And then like even in the descriptions, it's always like Mikey A, Mikey A, Mikey A, because part of it is like, are they going to confuse him if I just write Mike? But I don't want to keep calling him something he might not want to be called.
At this point, I think I am dubbed Mikey A for our listeners. But yes, this is the only facet of my world where I am referred to as Mikey.
But Mikey A, I remember when we started doing like the weekend observation stuff, okay? Like I remember it was a device because every time I said Mike, it was you, Junior, and Mikey C, and all three of you would answer at the same time. Yeah. And so I had to go Mikey C, Mikey A, and then keep Junior, you know?
Well, you could have done Mikey C, Gojo, and Mike. I could have still been Mike.
You could have
Wow. You made it more confusing by making it Mikey A and Mikey C. So now we have to wait for the last initial.
But I think Stugatz was always holding out hope that he would loop in and somehow rope in Golic Sr., which he did, who is Mike. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like now that's
saving the mic. Yes.
Yeah. He had the mic on hold just in case, just for a rainy day in case he was ever to reel in that big
fish. You long playing bastard. He went with the long play. But he's right.
Billy knows me so fucking well, man. Billy knows me better than I know myself. I mean, I'm telling you. And Roy might know me better than I know myself. In fact, all three of you probably know me better than I know myself.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right, Roy. Roy, so you excited?
You're in California, Stugatz, then? We can get to the bottom of this officially?
I'm in California. Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm not out of the country.
It's been an interesting week on our end because I didn't know that you were going to California. And they're like, you know where Stugatz is? And I'm like, no, I think he's coming in today. I don't know. And then you weren't. And I was like, okay. And then the thing is that I felt that I was like viewed as a co-conspirator on this, which you did like the good thing, I guess, in a sense where like if you committed a crime, you made sure not to like involve your friends and family in your crime. So you'd be the only one to go down. So I didn't know. But I
protected
think
you, Billy.
You did protect me, but for like 2 days, I got like the looks like this person knows more than he's telling us. And I'm like, I don't know anything.
Guilty by association.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Bill.
I was like, look, all I know is Stugatz got mad at me because we were texting him like Monday morning thing, he'd be at work like, hey, where, what are we going to do today? And you're like, it's so early. Why are you waking me up? It's like, whoa, I don't know.
I felt bad about that. At one point, and I never do this, and I'm sorry, but I was in a foul mood, man. I really fucking was. I was like, there was something they asked Whittingham. I go, he's standing right next to you. You ask him.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why I was in a foul mood that morning. Because, you know, Dan's upset. And listen, I apologized. I went out of town. The truth is, this is God's honest truth. My wife, for my 50th birthday and Father's Day, surprised me with a trip to California. Okay, what?
Are you 50?
I'm gonna be 50
this year.
Yes, I know. Wow. I always go a year back. Like, you think I'm 48, right?
I have no idea how thought I look. I don't know how old anyone is anymore, right? Because we basically took off 2 years from seeing people. So like, I'll see people, and like, if they had kids, their kids are now like huge, or like they've put on like a lot of weight, and it's like, whoa, like. I'm just not used to this. I feel like almost, and I don't mean this, I mean this kind of joke, like, I feel almost like I was like in a coma from seeing people for 2 years, and I'm like waking up, and everyone the first time I see them is totally different than the last time I saw them.
It's weird. It is. But she wanted to do something nice for me because there are some shows on the Dead Summer Tour that I'm not going to be able to go to that I would normally go to. Whether it's my mom's unveiling, whether it's, you know, getting our kids ready for college and getting them off to college. There are certain stops I'm going to miss. And so she sent me out by myself, by the way, to a place that I love, Shoreline Amphitheater, to see Dead & Company. And so I didn't tell those guys. Now, she told me on Saturday night. I'm telling you, I'm sitting home. I'm streaming the Dead show. I know what Gojo and I discussed on his podcast. Hey, maybe we'll go to the show in LA. I get it. And, you know, we got a bunch of detectives on our show. I was home on Saturday, went to a nice dinner with my wife. Was streaming the show from Dodger Stadium, and she surprised me right then and there saying, hey, great news, tomorrow you're going out there, two shows, Monday and Tuesday. And I was super excited, so excited I forgot to tell Whitty and Dan. And so I told them like on Sunday afternoon, and it became a whole thing. But I am indeed in California, and I went to see I went to see the Dead on both Monday and Tuesday. It was spectacular. So that is the God's honest truth. That's what happened there. And thank you to my wife for doing that. And thank you for Dan for being so understanding.
Like, you had a choice in the matter.
No, but I'm wrong. Listen, I was wrong. I told them very late. I put Whittingham in a terrible spot. I know, Billy. Listen, the show that for me, I will roll with anything. Roy knows this. Billy knows this. Mikey, I even knows this. If Dan calls up 15 minutes before a show and says, I can't come in today and I'm not going to come in for a week. In fact, he did it and didn't come back for 6 weeks. I just rolled with it. Okay. I would just roll with it. We do a show. We get through it. Hopefully it'd be good and we'd move forward. But Dan's a different creature and he likes me in studio. A lot of what we do is based on timing. And so to tell him that late in the proceedings was unfair. And so I apologize to both of them. It could have ended right there, but it didn't. So I apologize. And yet here they are still snooping around trying to get to the bottom of something.
Are you because I started looking at the Dead & Company like schedule their tour schedule after this situation. Mm-hmm. Are you going to one of the Wrigley concerts? That seems like it would be a cool show to go to.
I am going to one of the – I would normally go to both Wrigley shows. I am only going to one. And so that's like one of the reasons, Bill. I would normally go to Folsom Field in Colorado, but I can't go. Yeah, I can't go. That's actually this weekend. Yeah. So I would normally go to that. I can't. It's my mom's unveiling. My wife, it's really not about like, I don't like the big stadium shows as much as I like the smaller venues. And she knew that Shoreline was a venue that I love. And for me, it's about where I see them as much as just seeing them. And Shoreline's just one of those places you got to go to.
But Wrigley seems like a cool one for you, like as a sports fan. I also see two City Field shows that I feel like
I'll
you're
be
gonna
at
go
both
at least
of those.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
There you go. Yeah. But those are weekend shows. I'll tell you right now where I'm going, just so we're clear. You can run this day back for them when.
No.
You don't want me to. No, you like
do exactly what you did last time. Leave me out of this. I don't want to know where you're going. Don't tell me.
I have no knowledge of this either.
I will find out when we find out.
I'm going to break your heart. Unfortunately, I already told Whittingham. Just say,
Look, don't tell me. That's the rule. I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm. Billy, I still think you had something to do with it.
I know that, but I never want to be, look, I never want you, I never want to, how do I put this? I never want to have to testify against you, if that makes sense.
Yes,
so
it does.
Leave me out of as many of your nefarious dealings
as possible.
The less
I tell you, the better, right?
Well, no, let's not. Okay, let's not jump to that.
You don't
want to
lie on my behalf, right?
I don't want to either have to lie on your behalf or tell the truth and put you away for a while.
Okay,
you know
gotcha.
I mean?
Yes,
it's
I totally
friend.
Know what you mean.
He's a good friend.
He is a good friend. And listen, Mikey, I was a good friend. I didn't tell Billy anything. I kept him out of it.
Well, that's where the lines are blurred. I don't know how good that makes you as
Billy,
a friend.
I am telling you, after I knew that they were upset with it, or Dan was upset with it, I said, I'm not saying a word to Billy. I don't want Billy to be a part of it. It was my mistake, and I wanted to own up to it. And so I did. But, you know, Billy, you remember like when we left ESPN, Freedom, hey, we played the George Michael song. Hey, do whatever we want, whatever we want. I mean, that lasted like 4 days.
The song did, yeah.
I thought Dan meant forever. Right? We could just go where we want, whatever we want at a moment's whim, and we'd figure out the show. That's what I thought. I mean,
missing curfew, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, missing curfew. Let's get to the guys.
The Updog and Obi. I'm excited about this. Only
why
because,
are you so excited about this?
I mean, because we already recorded it. I know it went well.
Oh, okay. Good.
Exactly.
Stupidity!
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I heard that this is an appetizer for you guys, that you're talking to the great one after this.
Yeah, we are.
Wow.
You hooked it up. he coached me, and I got drunk with him last week up in Edmonton, where I'm from. And I got to say, I'm a little nervous.
Was he a good coach?
No, he'd be the first one to tell you he was a horrendous coach.
Wait, wow. So Gretzky's a bad coach. Is he a good drinker?
He likes to throw a couple back.
I think he's a great.
He never liked flying back in the day, so he'd always have a little goose and a little Perrier in his seat when we got on the plane.
Nice,
Scotty. How would you describe your time down here in Florida?
Oh, almost got lost down in Miami a few times.
Yeah, you did.
I loved it. I loved it. We had a good a good group of younger guys. We're all down living on Los Olas. We not only had fun playing hockey, we were a pretty good team, but we also enjoyed, you know, finer things in life as being a young athlete in South Florida. I always tell this guy, getting off the planes, like landing your plane, coming off of a trip from Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, when it's fucking -30, and you come down, you get off your plane, you put your sunglasses on, and you're like, guys, this is National League here, you know? So it was good. Driving out to, to like Davie and where we played in fuck, it's way the hell out there.
Sunrise.
It's painful. It's like living in Phoenix and having to drive all the way out to Glendale. Just it doesn't work. So you know, build a rink down on the 95 freeway somewhere near Fort Lauderdale or Miami, and that place would be rocking.
In game four, there was a report that some of the Panthers went to a Tampa strip club, you know, probably to take the edge off of getting swept or whatever. Would you say that the strip clubs are better over here in this part of the state than it would be over in Tampa?
I don't know. I played in Tampa. They're pretty good. They should have went to a strip club after game one. I don't know why they waited.
Why wait?
Like, they should have went after game one, boys, and rallied. But,
and you know they're Tampa's open. Got some good ones. You know they're open all day, too. You can go for lunch. You don't have to stay.
I know. I used to
grab a steak sandwich.
Yeah, you know way too much about the strip club scene, man.
I would go right after practice some days, boys. I'm not going to lie. It was probably near the end of the year, right, when the season's coming to an end. If one year we weren't in the playoffs, I think – the odd time we had a little, hey, boys, let's just go right and see what's happened over at Mon Venus right away.
What's the most exciting part of your day today? Is it talking to me or talking to Wayne Gretzky?
It's not used to.
We're pretty fired up. No,
you never know, Billy. I mean, you really never know.
We're fired up to do this with you boys for sure. Obviously, we're up dogs. We're a little nervous about Wayne. We swear a lot in our podcast.
Right.
We should probably not swear a whole lot. So I don't know. We're probably more nervous for Wayne, but I was excited to talk to you boys.
All right. Well, tell us about the podcast. We have Shane O'Brien. We have Scotty Upshaw with us, Missing Curfew. So tell us about the podcast, guys.
Yeah. You know, so when I first retired from hockey, I retired a few years before the Up Dog, and me and Uppy had been best buddies for, you know, the last 10 years, playing in the NHL, training together in the summer, hanging out in Newport, partying up in Hollywood. And I got into media and shout out to the Spit and Chicklets boys. They were the original, the OGs of podcasts. And I saw the success that they were having. And I just kind of went to Uppy, you know, whenever your career comes to an end, I think we can do this. I've been doing some media. You know, we went hard on the ice. We went hard off the ice. We missed a lot of curfews. And that just kind of started with that. And then the Up Dog retired and we did a little pilot. Next thing you know, boom, here we go.
Well, as you guys know, in this business, you got to be able to talk, and this guy can. So He's like, fuck, Uppy, when you're done, you know, I want to do this. I want to do it with you. And, you know, if it's another buddy we got, you know, it'd be perfect. So we reached out to a teammate of ours, Jimmy Hayes, who had passed last year. We miss him dearly. He's always here. He's right behind us here in the studio. And we started covering the playoffs when it was in the bubble during COVID. And, you know, it just started to snowball. We started to have fun with this thing. We started to tell stories. A lot of our friends wanted to come on and chat, just like you guys with your friends and the crew you have built. And you can build you build a lot of camaraderie. And part of the game we miss is being in the locker room. As you guys know, like, it's not the same as you guys sitting in your own home, being on the phone. It's nice when you're in the studio. Well, in hockey, it's nice when you're in the locker room, you're telling stories about the strip club, or, you know, the young guys coming in and talking about picking up chicks, and the older guys who are married are like, fuck, I miss those days, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then just being able to cover hockey, keeping us in the game. You know, hockey's the best sport in the world, with the best, you know, I like to say the best athletes, people that treat the, you know, people the best. And you know, we feel fortunate enough that we still have this platform, and chatting with you guys is a highlight of our day. So this is, you know, we get up every morning for this. Obi does a great rundown. We have fun with it.
Billy, why are you laughing at Up Dog? Like, go ahead, get in there. Like,
it's a great nickname. Up Dog is a great nickname.
It's a great nickname.
Absolutely. Up Dog. What up, really dog? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But what I don't like about Scotty Up Dog, okay, I'm telling you right now, he sounds like Levitard. I mean, I don't miss the locker room at all. No. I'd rather be right here in Mountain View, California, checking out that show. So I fuck the locker room.
Well, that's because you're next to that venue, that amphitheater. You don't want to move anywhere.
Plus, our locker room has no air conditioning. I mean, it's at the Cleveland Hotel. It's a petri dish for COVID. I mean, it's horrific in there.
You guys have very quickly, by the way, in your media careers, become expert bullshitters, saying that this is one of the highlights of your day when you're talking to Wayne Gretzky. After. It's just impossible.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. We're not quite as intimidated by you boys as we are the great one, we'll be honest.
And you shouldn't be. How'd you come up with the name Missing Curfew?
Ah, buddy, we were just, I think we were drinking after, you know, obviously a lot of the best things we create, we're either, you know, having a puff back in the day together on the golf course, or we're having a beer after the golf course. So I think I brought it up one day where I'm like, Obi, I got the name. He's like, what? And I'm like, fucking missing curfew, bro. Like, it's just, yeah. It just has a thing. It's what we did. We always showed up and played hard. If you play guilty, right? It's an actual thing, you know, not just a saying. You play guilty when you go out and you got to show up and give extra the next day, whether it's practice or, you know, God forbid, a game. And so, man, we created it. And, you know, Obi's idea of the podcast itself was there. And then we put the name to it. And then, you know, boom, yeah. Came alive.
We had everything. And shout out to our boy, Kevin Connolly, who, you know, helped us get this off the ground with this company at Action Park Media up in Hollywood. And I go, Updog, we got this. We got everything. But fuck, man, I don't have a name. And whatever, we were bullshitting thing. And Updog goes, missing curfew. And I'm like, that's it, fella. Sent it to Connolly. Connolly loved it. And the rest is history.
I could have been Updog and Friends, but I was like, ah, fuck it.
Updog and Friends. Oh my God. Wait, so Shane, and you were good with missing curfew. But the question I have, Roy's going to hate me for asking you guys this. I'll start with Shane first, okay? And then Updog, you could follow up on
you
this.
Can call okay? me Obi. You can call me Obi, by the way.
I'm not going to call you Obi because Updog's the better nickname. I don't know why. Like, I'm very comfortable calling him Updog. I'm not comfortable calling you Obi. I think you're bigger. I think I don't know what it is. It's something about the muscles. Why do the Panthers suck, man?
God damn it, Stugatz.
God damn it.
I mean, they do. They let us down. They were the best team in hockey the entire season. They win the dumb President's Trophy, which is a curse to all hockey teams because you feel like you won something before you actually win anything. And then the Panthers do what they do. They won a series, which is not what they normally do. And then they lose to the Lightning, which is what they always do. So again, OB, I'll start with you. Why do the Panthers suck?
Yeah, I think sucks a hard word for a harsh word. Listen, they had a great year, as you said. The President's Trophy, I don't know if you guys know this, it's a bit of a curse in the NHL, right? Not a lot of teams win the President's Trophy and the Stanley Cup. My biggest concern was the way they played in the regular season. They were so offensive. You know, they were the comeback cats. They could score 7 goals before you know it. But couldn't they win the playoffs? Can they play low-scoring games? Can they play tight-checking games? And it proved that they really couldn't. So it's a good learning lesson for them. They will be back. They have a great core. But they have to learn how to play a little tighter, more defensive hockey.
I think it's just the fact they still got to play in Sunrise. They just got to drive up that stupid road. Right. It's a buzzkill. And like Obi said, you got to learn to win in the NHL playoffs. That group, you know, this was a big step for them this year in all hockey talk. But getting your asses kicked by the champs really puts you in a, you know, puts you in a spot where you're like, fuck, that's how we have to play. We got to play D. You know, our defense who all season long got to do whatever they wanted. Well, now things, you know, the pace of play picks up in hockey in NHL playoffs. Things become tight. It becomes harder to win. And I just don't think they were built for the playoffs, but they all went through a little lesson, a little learning curve this year, and they'll be better next year for it.
Are you saying that if they move to Fort Lauderdale in a brand new arena, could things get better for them?
I'll tell you why, Roy. Is because the visiting team, they'll all be down on the beach. They'll fucking get to Florida. They'll be like, this is great. Let's just go. Right. Let's hit the bars. Let's go to the elbow room. Let's, you know, Evgeny Malkin one time came in to play us Pittsburgh. They all went out on jet skis the day before the game. At morning skate, he couldn't put his fucking gear on, and they had to scratch him. He was a late scratch. So things like that can happen in South Florida, where the opposing team, look at Vegas last year, or when they first came in the, you know, they best home record in the league because all the other guys came in and thought it was a party.
I mean, when we played in Florida, it didn't matter where the rink was. The Panthers were so shitty back then that like we highlighted it on the schedule. Like, I'm getting drunk in Tampa. We're going to beat them. Then we're going to go to Florida. I'm going to go to Miami. I'm going to get drunk there. Then I'll come back and I'm going to beat the Panthers. So back in the day, to us, it was an easy road trip. Now when teams go in there, as much as the Updog is hating on Sunrise, I think it's more of obviously a harder place to play nowadays than it was when me and the Updog were in the league.
No, but Updog is right, because I got to tell you, the only thing that's in Sunrise, there's a mall, there's a Sawgrass Ford dealership, and a quarter deck.
Rainforest Cafe. Yeah.
And the Rainforest Cafe.
Don't forget
Cafe,
that. Yeah.
Right? There's nothing to do there. And quite frankly, we're not deserving of a parade. It'd be like on the fucking Sawgrass Expressway. No one would show up. You're 100% Updog. It's the greatest take I've ever heard in terms of hockey.
Really, it'll be on a boat on the intercoastal.
Oh, enough. I mean, seriously, okay. Boats, the boat parade's enough. Hey, do you guys agree? I said this earlier on the show. Do you agree? When you were lowering John Cooper into his grave, you need to drive a stake through his heart just to make sure he's dead. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. We've actually become good friends with John Cooper over this year. He's been great to our podcast. We had a night out with him in Nashville. I mean, what you said is the truth. He's matured so much, and now you see the way he handles the media and his players. And honestly, his players are like his friends, man. Like, when I was around their team this year, like, the way they get along, they're really a team, and it starts with Coop.
And so the fact that he's like smoking cigars.
Yeah, he's a player coach. He
loves red wine.
He's an A1 player coach. And like Obi said, at one point they were the best team in the league. President's Trophy winners, got swept by Columbus. It was like a holy shit. Like, his job was on the line.
Yeah, he could have got fired.
Then, you know, he grabs his players again and says, "This learning curve is what's going to get us to the, you know, get us to the promised land." And I mean, where they are sitting today with 4 wins away from 3 in a row is you know, it's insane. And you tip your cap to him. And like you said, this guy, it's hard to put him down, man. He's so calm on the bench. He's just, after every play, if they go to him, he's just calm, collective, knows his team can kind of pull through in the right moments.
Yeah, he's got good style too. Not a lot of NHL coaches got good style. These two coaches in the finals, just so you boys know, have the best style of all the coaches in the NHL. So keep your eye open for that during the final.
Colorado, Tampa, it's a great Stanley Cup. It really is. Two very deserving teams. Game one is tonight for the Stanley Cup. Winning 3 straight, and Updog, I'll start with you. What would that do in terms of historical perspective within that sport? Winning 3 straight, what would that do for Tampa?
I mean, it puts them in the record books. You know, for me, though, modern era hockey, it's so competitive out there. You know, with the salary cap and, you know, the way these kids come up and they get put into the lineups right out of the draft, it's never happened like this. So the competition is always there. But to me, what stands out is just, you know, the Hall of Fame players that these guys have, the Victor Hedmans, you know, this Kucherov is doing things on the ice, and it doesn't even look like he's healthy sometimes. He played with the flu in the first round, and he's the best player on the ice. Stamkos, you know, at 34 years old, I think Obi is playing some of the best hockey he's ever played. And I would just say Obi's been a Tampa Bay Lightning, so I'll throw it to him. But it's amazing hockey, man. It's such a feat.
Yeah, it's so hard to win a series in the NHL. Like, me and Updog, he's been to the conference finals. I went to the second round a few times. We're sitting here without a Stanley Cup ring. It's so hard to win a series, to win back-to-back cups, to go to 3 straight finals. Like, the discipline they have, the structure they play with, the love that they have in the dressing room. And then you got to give their GM, Julian Breezeball, some credit. He's made some great moves. And then, God bless the state of Florida, right? No state tax. These veteran guys come in, sign 1-year deals for $1 million. That's helped them a lot too. But what they're doing, honestly, boys, I really can't even put it into words.
Goaltend is a clear advantage here for Tampa. What are the Avalanche going to have to do with Darcy Kuemper and their defense to help stifle off the Lightning offense?
It's a great question. It's the biggest concern. I put my money in DraftKings on the Avalanche at the start of the year. My only concern in the series is goaltending. Darcy Kuemper, he doesn't have to be the best player in the series. He just can't be the worst. If he's the worst, it's going to be hard for the Colorado Avalanche to win this series. But the biggest advantage in a series, when you look at them, is Vasilevsky.
Yeah, and then Tampa has a checking line, guys, that has played out of their minds. And I don't think the Colorado Avalanche has seen a line like that. They haven't seen a shutdown kind of, you know, flow of 10 guys coming on the ice to shut their big guys down. Cale Makar, for me, is, you know, he's a specimen. He's a generational player. Wayne Gretzky last week said he's the only player to ever remind him of Bobby Orr, who arguably is the best defenseman ever to play the game. So, you know, the back and forth, if it gets into a shootout, Colorado probably has the advantage because their firepower is there. But in a tight checking game, something that goes to overtime, for me, you got to look to the champs. You got to look to who's got the better goalie, who feels more confident in net to make that big save for their team, and that's Tampa. So I'm pulling for those boys.
And Braden Point's going to be eased back into this series. He's been injured for a little bit. One of the practice lines I saw, he was a third-line winger. And I'm sure he's going to end up being boosted back up to the first line eventually. How do you think his game's going to go?
Another good observation. You do know your hockey, my man. You do know your hockey.
The only one. I mean, besides you two, of course.
Yeah, that's a good tidbit. Yeah, right now they got Point playing on the third line. The checking line that Uppy did mention, they've done a phenomenal job. Unfortunately, they've only scored three goals through the whole playoffs on that line. So I do think if Braden Point stays healthy, you will see him bumped up maybe to that checking line, maybe even back up to the first line, although Palat, Stammer, Kucher playing unbelievable. But Braden Point is a big wild card offensively because as much depth as Tampa has, their top three guys have been doing a lot of the scoring. If Point's healthy, I can see him moving up the lineup.
Yeah, and injuries are all part of the playoffs, right? That's why it is the hardest trophy to win. And when you do have a guy like Braden Point, you know, if he's healthy enough to be effective, you use him. If not, he is that Rover type player you use. He might be on the power play. He might just be on the bench, sure, just to give, you know, them a little uplift. But, you know, Colorado, it's like watching them live in round one and round two, it's pretty crazy, their offense. And I haven't seen firepower like that in a long, long time. So it'll be a great series to watch, boys.
OB, what's the worst injury you've ever sustained playing hockey?
You know what? I was pretty lucky when it comes to, like, you know, surgeries and that. But a lot of my damage was, you know, cuts and broken noses and teeth. But the worst one I got a skate in the face in the minors, but I got a cross check right between the eyes, a follow through. In the playoffs against the Blackhawks, that one probably hurt the most.
How long were you out for? 20 seconds?
Yeah, I missed a couple shifts just because they had to, like, glue her together. But then I came right back out there. And I actually got hit with a puck in the minors off my own guy's own teammate's stick. He was a young guy. Nick Cordelius was his name. I didn't talk to him for, like, 3 weeks after that because I still don't know what he was doing down there. That one hurt a lot, too.
Updog, your worst injury.
I've had a bunch, boys.
Dr. Updog, he knows the body better than most doctors. This guy knows what he's talking about.
Treat the body, treat the career. I broke my hand in game 7 of the St. Louis Blues Blackhawks series. It's going back probably 5-6 years ago. And I ended up playing right through to the conference finals against your team, San Jose, Stugatz.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just in San Jose. I wouldn't call
him a big
team.
Sharks guy. Yeah.
I mean, listen, he's an Owen Nolan guy. Yeah.
I'm an Islander fan. I had a good run in the 80s. That's about it.
And wow. So I played roughly 14 playoff games with a shattered thumb that just was, like, popped out of its socket. I had it just wrapped in, it was in a cast the whole time. And then I've done 3 knee injuries. The worst one, though, was probably in South Florida. I popped my ab bone off right above the cock.
Jesus.
Right off the bone, and it was I could not get a hard on for fucking 3 months, boys. It was
nuts.
What? Wait, what?
And that's me talking. Trust me.
Wow.
Not perfect.
And he was taking 4 Cialis a day, and he still couldn't get one.
No, it was.
It wasn't having lunch at Mons Venus.
It wasn't for the lack of blood flow. It just hurt too much.
Yeah. Well, wait till you turn 50. I mean.
And the playoffs, you know that they're playing through injuries, like. It's ridiculous. Like I read somebody had to play through a hip flexor injury during the playoffs, and obviously Duncan Keith got hit in the mug with a puck.
Updog sounded worse to me, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the craziest injuries that you've heard people have sustained during the playoffs that they played through?
Steve Yzerman stands out to me. Steve Yzerman played on one knee. His other knee, basically at the end of the playoffs, they had to saw underneath his knee off and, like, drill in and replace his whole knee after the playoff run, which they won.
Yeah.
So to me, I always look back at the way these Warriors used to play because they didn't feel any pain. It was literally all for the game, right, back in the day?
Yeah.
You learn so much watching older players when we came in the league, how they handled, like, their body. Jason Smith, actually, my captain in Philly, separated both the right under your, like, esophagus, those both SC joints. He popped them right out, and he couldn't shampoo his hair, or he couldn't, like, lift up to have a drink, and he played fucking every game. He just could get the cortisone in there. It's crazy.
Yeah, for me, it was you guys that would play with broken ribs. Like, if you ask the Updog, like, playing hockey with broken ribs, every time you breathe or get hit, had a couple guys throughout my career play battle through that, and you know, they could barely get out there. They would get shot up, take what they had to take, get through the game, and then you'd see them after where they could hardly breathe and eat or walk. So broken ribs were always one that I had a lot of respect for, guys.
All right, I know Gretzky's coming up. I'll get you out of here in a second. I have a couple of quick questions. Better hockey player, OB or Updog?
Updog played more games than me. So when you go by
The letter of the law as hockey players, you'd have to give it to the Updog. He played over 700. I played about 550, so I guess we got to give it to the Updog.
Two different players, boys. Both guys you want on your team, and you want at the bar with you.
You right? want Updog. Choose Updog. Say you're better. I mean, come on. Let's you know?
Obi had a better backhand than me. He you know, his backhand, nice flat backhand sauce pass, just always perfect. Right. His coaches would give him shit every time he'd do it. Yeah. I was probably a little quicker out there than him.
Okay.
Hence, you know, he's a big boy. He's
okay. Big boy. Who wins in a fight, Updog or OB? OB, I'll start with you.
Ah, come on, fella.
That's easy, right? Okay, that's easy. Wait, this one might be easier because I have a feeling it's Updog. Better hair, Updog or OB?
It's Updog, 100%.
Updog's a good-looking guy, man.
Nobody had better hair than this guy. Nobody worked the blow dryer after the game better than the Updog. he'd get that blow dryer going, and he'd have something lined up after the game with dinners. Yeah. And there's nobody better on the road ever than the Updog.
Except for those 3 weeks where his penis wasn't working.
Yeah. I don't believe that. I still think he found a way to use it, even if it wasn't working.
Who takes themselves more seriously? Updog, I'll start with you.
More seriously, this guy, he's a real pro. I'm a goofball most of the time.
Right. OB, yeah. You seem like a serious motherfucker, dude. Like, I don't want to mess with you, man.
Oh, no, I'm a gentle giant. I mean, if I get a couple shots of Jameson in me, look out. But I like to think both of us are pretty laid back. We don't take too much seriously around here at Missing Curfew.
All right, OB, I go to you first on this one. More likely to pay for dinner. You are Updog.
Hey, fuck, 100%.
On the Missing Curfew credit card.
Perfect. Yeah, I was so drunk.
I'm so proud of you guys. I love you.
I was so drunk the other night. I paid for dinner, I thought, and then I had to text Uppy Monday morning. I checked my Amex. I'm like, fella, I think I put that on Missing Curfew Amex. You might want to give that a check.
That's what it's for, though, eh, boys? Fucking
right. All right, well, help me out with this, because I've done a single segment on the Levitard show this week because I'm in California. Is that enough work to put in where I should expense the entire trip? Yes or no?
100%.
Thank you.
100%. Yeah, yeah, you deserve it.
Go to a couple concerts. I mean, yeah, stop by the local dispensary, just whatever you need.
All right. Listen, I have so much more I want to do with you guys. We appreciate it. Check out their podcast, Missing Curfew, Shane O'Brien and Scotty Upshaw. They have Wayne Gretzky coming up. So looking forward to that. I wanted to play Puck Yeah or Puck No with you. I wanted to give you my top five natural goal scorers of all time and the three most important goals in hockey history. But we will do that next time. It will be our second date. And I have to talk more about Updog in the 3 week period in which his penis just was not working. No, I have so many follow ups, man.
Yeah, that's the first I heard of that. I've known him for 20 years. I never heard that story. I'd like to know more about that too.
All right, real quick. I mean, we don't do predictions. Well, I do. Updog, who wins the cup?
I got Tampa in seven, boys. It's going to be exciting.
It seems like good value from a betting perspective with our friends over at DraftKings. OB, who do you have?
I would say, like you said, for betting on DraftKings, the Lightning is the play. I'm so torn in this series, man. I picked the Avs at the start of the year. I was going to wait till – I'm going to say it. I guess I'm going to go with the Colorado Avalanche.
All right, good.
It's tough.
Yeah, they're a good team, man. It's going to be a great cup. You guys are awesome. This was a lot of fun. I'd like to do it again soon, if possible, because, again, I have all those things I want to discuss with you. But good luck with Gretzky. Good luck with the podcast. And it's going to be a fun Stanley Cup. I hope to talk to you guys maybe the next couple of weeks.
That'd be awesome.
Sounds good, boys. Enjoy the final.
Thanks, guys. Love your show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.